sounds so cheesy when someone else reads it and then I hear how bad it is, but it's so true, so I can't really do anything to change that. My name's Laura, and thank you. Yeah, I feel really bad because it's so beautiful and we have this setup where the sun is gleaming in and it looks so joyful, and I really don't have a lot of happy poems because it's really hard for me to write them, so I don't know if we're gonna see what happens, so I apologize for... Oh, thank you. Thank you. But I'm gonna get into it. I'm gonna sit for a little bit just because I usually don't get to. This is really nice. Alright. Dear Sylvia, an oven is no place to go searching for answers. All you will find there is uprising. Not even the dough is okay with accepting itself as soft. But you are so soft, trying to cushion the fall of your children, shoving earplugs beneath the crack of the door. You didn't want them to hear. Didn't want them to learn so small that when adults need to ask for help, they don't ask at all. Did you believe killing yourself was the only way to make people appreciate you? Did you know your son Nicholas would look for you after you'd gone? Obtain a bachelor in zoology, prefer studying ocean. I think he was obsessed with the way things can breathe underwater. When he hung himself, I wonder if he was picturing you in the bathtub, letting Razor hum songs to your wrist. If that made him think of the gills of fishes, if he ended transfixed on the gutting instead. One of my dear friends, Jack McCarthy, passed away this past year, and he was sort of my mentor, grandfather figure I never had, like such a great spirit and sort of my inspiration of seeing someone live an entire lifetime like so openly and with so much love, and he didn't judge and like gave love and support to anyone all the time, and even in his passing did it so gracefully. And he supported me and got me my first show and gave me this advice, and when I was first writing, like he said, this was his favorite poem, so I'm gonna do that for him. And I just realized, like Paul Nelson, like this is the first poem where I met you at SPLAB, and actually all, I don't know. The poetry community is amazing, like thank you guys for being such an amazing community and family. So, this poem is called On Paper. I wish we had met under different circumstances, at a bar, a restaurant, or maybe a party. I wish I was mixing you a drink, a screwdriver instead of a saline drip, measuring in shots instead of milliliters, and in laugh lines instead of your pulse. Some days, I couldn't tell the difference between the tubes and the veins in your arms, your hands so frail, ribs so thin they sat like the threads of a harp never being strummed. Just settling. I wish you didn't settle for this. This ongoing nightmare in between dreams, I hated turning you over like a piece of meat, like meat on a rotisserie every few hours. I just wanted for you to be comfortable. I hated when you asked me to leave. I wish your call light was really a lighthouse and I could bring you the ocean. Let you feel the sand sift through your fingers like time, in which I would give you as much as you wanted. We were always the last ones finished with meals. I wish your children didn't need to feed you like a child. I wish your children showed up to feed you like a child. I didn't know what you liked, and I hated when you were scared. How walking down hallways turned into a threat, and the prospect of slipping turned into a bullet. Your nails dug into my skin like nails. I won't drop you, I'd repeat. I won't drop you. Though some days, I wish that I could. Pretend we'd never have met, and then maybe I wouldn't feel guilty for not knowing your life. Your chart is as long as the Bible and just as convoluted, but history of hypertension is no summary of a man. Tell me, who are you? I wish you could tell me. I wish you got more phone calls. I wish you didn't sleep so much. And I wish that I'd been there. I wish I'd been there when you died. I worked at a nursing home for a little while, and it was really, really tough. And like, tough to be in this job scenario where you're also trying to build relationships, but you know you can't really replace a family that someone doesn't have as much as you don't want to, so. But it's a balance too. People do really beautiful things there. Let's see. So I'm gonna do a really, really short poem as sort of an introduction to the next poem. Starting out, this poem is called Matchbook. The day I wasn't allowed to love you, my heart slipped like a matchbook into water, and the paint kept drying too quick. Instructions on letting go of first love. 1. Cry. Cry in the shower so the water pours over your face. This place will only know you are sad if you tell it. 2. Remember everything you wish that you didn't. Cup it in fingers like seashell and hold that empty up next to your ear. Listen until you hear the sound of the sea. Drag bare feet upon coastline. Feel lost. 3. Kiss. Drink down other men's lips like discounted booze. Don't think about rules or consequences. Tell yourself you will find a man who makes you dizzy again. 4. Make sure to spend time alone. Let heartache sink into your body like song. Learn every chord perfectly. It is there to teach you the value of giving part of yourself away. 5. Only let yourself believe you weren't good enough for one day. Make it the entire day if it must be. Scream at the mirror, if it was love, how could it just stop? Am I not smart enough, thin enough, pretty enough? Replay every argument till it dribbles from the side of your mouth. Like black plastic bags being dragged along sidewalks till you spit up molding vegetables and those last sips of milk in their carton. 6. Eat ice cream. Ice cream makes everything a little better. 7. Spend time with friends. Make enormous sandwiches filled with as much butter as you'd been crying tears and eat them while watching Eddie Izzard. And for the first time in what feels like years, really laugh. That infectious kind of laugh that doesn't stop until there are tears. The good kind. 8. Write. Like you always have, like you always will. Don't ever let the pain of something take away the thrill of your passions. Although you shared many, they are still just as beautiful as they were before. 9. You are still just as beautiful as you were before. 10. When you find someone who will hold your hand in public, don't run away. Don't open your fingers like cherry blossom, pretty and waving goodbye. Stay. It might not work out, but you know now that it's not about the forever. It's about the day after day after day. Thanks, you guys. How is everyone doing? I know it's a little warm in here, but thank you for being here. Thank you, Jocelyn, for putting on this amazing show. Thank you, Black Coffee Co-op. Thank you to the audience, and thank you to the sunshine. And that's all, I'm done. Love you. All right. I think I wanna stand up. When we are born, our bodies are 70% ocean. Our upturned palms run latitude and longitude, and veins outline our continents. We're mobile atlases, our knuckles and kneecaps depicting our bumpy terrain. And as we bend fingers and legs, we are mountain ranges. Our mouth, an erupting volcano, shaking tremor in the pits of our stomach whenever we laugh. Yeah, we make fault lines sometimes, and you can trace them by the scars on our skin. But those cracks only arise to surface our diamonds, and when our lava blood cools, we are stronger. Glittering miracle. So hold tight your chest with two canyon arms and hug your heart into a valley. But keep your eyes plateau because you don't know what could happen. Don't trench drown your mind. Don't stream your eyes. Instead, desert your skin. Be the sun. Sometimes we forget that the sun is just a really big flame, terrified of a really big candle snuffer, that even the most impressive things are still trying to live as brightly as possible. So don't glacier sit, don't iceberg drift, yell geyser. Twirl in your ocean till you look like typhoon and uproot yourself. You are the trees and the mountains. You are the map in the world. Hold out your hand and point, your fingers a harbor. In whatever direction you follow, it will lead you home. So this is one of the first poems I ever wrote for slam poetry, and in the theme of feminist poetry, probably. The one that pertains the most. This is called Boxes. Scene one, take one, action. You used me as if I were a box on the street labeled free. You took me home without asking and placed me down on your bed. I had never been on a man's bed before. I didn't know what to expect. Then I felt both your hands grab onto my neck, turning me upside down, shaking me, emptying me. I tried to pick up my pieces, but you'd taken my arms. I tried kicking and yelling to tell you to stop, but you took my legs too. And my voice became eyes who only could stare, and my eyes became voices screaming as loud as they could. Cut. Move to scene four, take one, action. When you finished, you put me back in my box, grabbing a black felt tip pen, crossing out the word free and replacing it. Fragile. No strings attached is what we agreed, yet you strung me like a marionette. I looked up to find God, but all I saw were ropes and some wire, pulling me forward and pushing me back, pulling me forward and pushing me back, shaking me, emptying yourself. I spent days hugging pillows, wishing they could grow arms, so then maybe a thumb would trace crescent moons under my eyes. I would watch our fucks like a movie, in one of those scenes where the camera pans further and further away. Girl with a boy on a mattress. Girl with a boy on a mattress in a green room. Girl with a boy on a mattress in a green room in a blue house. Girl with a boy on a mattress in a green room in a blue house under white clouds. Girl with a boy on a mattress in a green room in a blue house under white clouds over black cities. Girl with a boy on a mattress in a green room. Wearing blue jeans under white sheets with a black eye and his green shirt hiding blue thighs, smeared with white stains in a black place holding red knives, crying blue tears, drinking white lies, drawing black lines under brown eyes, eating blue pills to see white skies in a black night until she blacks out. Role playback. It's been almost 7 years, and if I saw you today, I would probably just punch you in the face. But if words fought faster than fists, I might have the decency to say this instead. You are also a box, holding nothing but stale air within flimsy cardboard limbs with a label that reads, "Do not open." I should have realized I held the ability to crush you at any moment, for although I appear fragile and cheap, it is only because my love is free and free love is rare and must be handled with care. So let me rewind our script. Focusing on layers of tattered packaging, the camera pans further in. Suddenly, angles spin. Styrofoam flies up like popcorn, hovering and shooting back in. Paper walls snap shut while letters evaporate. E-L-I-G-A-R-F. The box soars off the bed and into the arms of a girl, skipping backwards along a street corner. Finally, the reel resumes, directed upon this young woman, carrying her baggage and walking with a smile on her lips, fading in a curtain of sun. Roll credits. I wish I had a happy poem really bad. Let's see. I'm pondering.